This is Julie Wise, and today is September 24th, 2008, and I'm here in Marianna, Arkansas, and I'm interviewing Mr. Ben Anthony Jr. for the Bracero History Project. So when and where were you born?
In Blytheville, Arkansas.
Okay. And when?
1943, October 30, 1943.
And where did you grow up and go to school?
Here in Marianna.
In Marianna?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll mostly make sure this is taping okay. And what? How did your family make a living?
My father was a farmer and my mother was a school teacher.
Okay. And did he own a farm or work on one?
He owned.
And that was here in Marianna?
Yeah, in Marianna.
And did you work on the farm as a child?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of work did you do on the farm as a child?
I did basically everything. What I had, hogs. Because when I was in high school, in our ag, we had hog projects and all like that. And so I started out raising hogs and chickens and all.
Mm-hmm.
And participating with the 4-H Club, doing chickens and green eggs and all of that.
Mm-hmm. And did your family grow cotton as well?
Yeah, a long time ago when my grandfather was living, we always had cotton and had sharecroppers, that was back in about 58 to 59,
Okay, late 1950s.
Uh-huh.
That's when you, as long as you had cotton.
Yeah. We might have had some cotton in 60 or 61. We probably had some, but the last cotton we had probably about 61 or 62, somewhere there in.
Okay. And so who else worked on the family farm besides you? Your siblings?
Well, it was my uncle, my grandfather, and then it was the people that lived across the highway that always a sharecrop, with the cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sometimes people from town would come out and to pick cotton. But we never used the Mexican labor back there then,
Mm-hmm.
But I use quite a bit of it now, though.
Right. Mm-hmm. Got it. So so then at the time there was, you said, a couple sharecroppers, the family, and then a couple day wage people that would come in, just right here from town.
Yeah.
And what was Marianna like then in the 1940s and 50s?
Well, it was just a farming community, and wasn't any factories here at all. And I think about probably about 67 or 68, we got a car factory here that was making seats for General Motors and all. But before then, it was primarily a farming community.
Mm-hmm.
And farm work was the only thing that you really could do during that time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And was it mostly African Americans here or mostly white people or somewhere?
Well, the blacks were the majority, but, still now, I think we're still a majority. Back in 72, I think we were about a little over 60% blacks and, during that time.
Okay.
Mm. Years ago, blacks owned a lot of land here, but, as time went on, they left or sold out of it, and it's not that many black farmers, left in the county now like it was at one time.
So you're saying in the 40s and 50s there were a lot of black farmers?
Yeah, and in the early 60s too.
Really?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so then in town, I assume that it was segregated in that time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how was that laid out? I mean,
The blacks had their school, the whites had their school.
Mm-hmm.
And like on these committees and things, the ASC committees and all, blacks weren't on those committees, back in the 50s and all like that,
What types of committees?
The soil conservation and
I see.
And in the farmers' home committees and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And so in town, you
and,
said...
You know, just like now, you know, we got a... It's a black that's the... that's over the farmer's home building, you know, here in Marianna. Well, see, back in the 50s and all, you know, with no such thing as really what no blacks working for the for farmers in the home, because, you know, that's why they ended up with this black farmers lawsuit, you know, right. Really and truly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and then in town, was there sort of a black part and a white part, or was was it about time of day or day of the week? How did that divide up?
Well, it was, you know, like, the places to go, you know, the blacks had their places and the whites had theirs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you could always go in the stores and buy, but, you know, you might not get waited on, you know, when you first went in there or stuff like that. But, mm-hmm. You know, they was... And I know one farmer, might have been two, that owned stores downtown, you know, and people, and especially out in the rural, you know, rural area, you know, the, you know, they had the stores out there where they would go and buy. And especially the blacks that were sharecropping, because a lot of times when the end of the year come, they didn't have nothing coming because, you know, when the man got through the books there, you know, it's showing where they didn't have anything, you know, because they owed it all to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And were there sharecroppers here that were white also?
Yeah, it was a few, you know, not that, you know, not as many as well as blacks, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, was there a high school here for blacks?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Robert R. Moton High School.
Got it.
And then the white school was T.A. Future High School. And this high school right up here, Lee Senior High School, just right around the curve here, when they built that, they was building that special for the whites, but it ended up, I think it's the first year or either the second year after they built that school, that's when two or three blacks went there and integrated it during that time. I've forgotten what year that was now. Probably about 73 or somewhere then. I can't remember what year that was.
So the schools didn't integrate until the early 70s, really?
Yeah, something saying. Like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm. And then, and so, was the school calendar different than it is today?
Yeah, a long time ago, because my mother used to teach up the Haynes up there. See, they had that split term, you know, like the black kids didn't go to school in September and October. They didn't go to November, I think it was, you know, because they was out picking cotton and going on. Mm-hmm. And they had a split term. And I think they had a split term in the spring, too, I think. But I know they had one in the fall, you know, where the kids would be out, you know, picking cotton during that time.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
One sister and I had two brothers. Well, I got one brother now. My brother next to me got killed in Vietnam.
So then you, and were your parents raising you with the idea that you were going to farm, that's what they wanted, or did they want you to go get an education and move to New York, or what was the idea of how your parents raised you to move forward?
Well, my mother and my grandfather always, you know, wanted me to, you know, to be so I could run the farm and all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Are your siblings in farming?
No, I got one daughter and she's in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a grandson. He's over there, too.
And what about your brothers and sisters? Are they in or your sister and your brother?
My sister just retired from teaching down in Ozark, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And my brother graduated from UAPB in ag and went to Cornell and got his master's in agronomy. And he was working for Monsanto for quite a few years. And now he's selling... insurance and mutuals in Baltimore now.
Oh, wow. So you're the only one that's kind of doing farming. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So when do you first remember hearing about or knowing that there were Mexicans here in this area?
I guess probably when I was in the ninth grade, you know, because, you know, you'd see them because I remember this guy... Jones, south of town here, I know he had those one of those huts. I think he's the one that had one of those huts, you know, for those Mexicans to live in, you know, that was, you know, because all the farmers, you know, back then, you know, had Mexicans here, you know, because they'd been about a truckload, you know, picking cotton and going on.
So when you say all the farmers...
Basically, the whites.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't remember any blacks, you know... I can't remember hearing about any blacks that had the Mexicans back there then.
Okay. Why do you think that was? that whites had.
Well, basically, you know, the blacks, you know, all of them had a lot of kids, and, you know, the kids, because this family across the road, well, there was three families across the road, they used to share crop with us, and one family, I think they had 18, it was 18 kids of those, and they could pick a bale and a half, and sometimes 2 bales a day, you know, they could, I mean, they could gin some cotton. And see, I used to hate to, when one young lady, Millie B., she wouldn't start on the other end of, from the trailer. She started at the trailer, and I got to go down and bring her, because she would hand pack one of those sacks, and I got to try to wag it back up to the trailer with an 85 or 90 pounds of cotton in there.
Wow. Yeah. 18 kids.
Yeah.
Efficient.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think then that the black farmers were not hiring Mexicans because they didn't need them?
No, not, you know, they didn't need them. Because just about, you know, back then, everybody had a large family.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. So so you say you remember, what else do you remember? So you said the white farmers, they all had Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, what about the housing? You remembered something about the housing?
They had one of those, I call it a hut, but it was a tin, you know, one of those kind of U-shaped buildings, you know, where they housed them in, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so you say you remember that first when you were in 7th or 8th grade.
Yeah, 8th or 9th grade, somewhere
8th
there.
Or 9th grade. Yeah, so then that's age 13, maybe, 14.
Yeah, yeah,
so we're talking about mid-50s.
Yeah.
Right. And do you remember, was there women, too, or only men?
It was a few women around, you know, during that time, too.
Okay.
But the majority of them was men.
Got it. And do you remember what time of year they would be here?
For sure, they would be in the fall of the year when we were picking cotton.
Mm-hmm. Would they come chop in the spring also? Or?
It was some here, but you know, not as many. You know, during the picking, during the harvest time.
Sure. And why do you think the farmers brought them in rather than using locals or something else?
Well, back then, during that time, you know, most, you know. They didn't have enough, you know, it wasn't enough labor here to do what they had to do.
Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Well, you know, the whites wasn't doing too much, you know, cotton picking and going on. You know, they were depending on the blacks, and it just wasn't enough. And, you know, and then you had quite a few blacks that had their own farm, mm-hmm. and all. Now, you know, years ago, you know, black kids, you know, you used to get a chance to, like when they got through picking their own cotton at home, they could go out and pick, you know, pick for somebody else and make them some money then, you know, when they got their parents' cotton picked, you know.
So you think that there just wasn't enough?
That's what I said.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And so do you know what they did for food, the Mexican workers?
I'm almost sure that they went to the regular grocery stores, you know, that was here, because they didn't have no alternative but to do that.
And what did you hear people say about them, positive or negative or anything? I mean,
no. Okay. I guess, you know, just me speaking, the landowners were glad to get them, because, you know, that was a way of them getting their crops harvested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did any of them live near you?
No. Gerard Farm. Now, Felton up here, they probably, because you passed by it right up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had some up there.
Sure.
But they had a lot of blacks that were living on their farm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was doing day work, you know, planting the mules and all that kind of stuff. It was a lot of blacks on Felton Farm.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear if the blacks and the Mexicans were working together in the same field or at the same time, or did you hear that they were separated?
No, I've never heard. You know, I'm almost sure that they were working together. I've never heard anything about them being, you know, separated.
Okay.
You know, when they were working.
Okay. And then what?
Because, you know, they back then, you know, you were gonna have to get along. You know, if you were out there, you know, you were gonna have to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And what did other people that you talked to think about them, other black people, about the Mexicans?
I don't think nobody had no blacks had nothing negative to say.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's just like the same thing now. If you don't use them now, you won't get your stuff out the field nowadays. You know, you got to have them.
And so what did they do on the weekend?
Well, okay. Well, a lot of them used to come down.
Working.
A lot of them used to come downtown, downtown to the black cafes, and you know, around, you know, and places like that.
So tell me more about that. They were in the black cafes?
Yeah.
Okay. Were they in white cafes also?
I doubt very seriously because it was a couple of places downtown what they used to call the High Chinaman. You know, on Saturday nights, the blacks would be in there and the Mexicans too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the type of places that whites had to go, you know, they, you know, probably wasn't allowed, you know wasn't going to go in there, you know.
So the High Chinaman, that was is that like a bar or a restaurant?
Well, it was a restaurant, a beer joint, it was all combined.
And what used to happen in the High Chinaman?
Some of everything. And then there was another one downtown there. It was next to the police station. I can't think of the name of it. I don't know whether it was a Poor Man Cafe or something like that. But, you know, everybody was you know, going there. And then just like O'Donnell had a place. And Sharon and Roscoe Bean had a place, but and Reed's Cafe. I know they used to go in Reed's.
Mm-hmm. Mexicans used to go there, mm-hmm. And that was a black place.
Yeah.
And so you and was there a movie theater?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You remember where the Mexicans went in the movie theater?
I doubt very seriously they went to the movie. Okay, because we had some blacks here on the theater. And then the whites had one, but when you went to the white theater, you had to sit upstairs, and the whites sit downstairs in that one.
And so do you remember if the Mexicans were at either theater?
I imagine they could have gone, but I doubt very seriously that they went to the theater, you know.
Got it. Mm-hmm. And did you remember any particular Mexicans that you learned their name or nothing like that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-mm. And did you ever interact with them in these cafes? I mean, I know you were probably pretty young at that time, but no. Okay. Do you know if they had anything to do with any local women?
No, I really don't.
Okay. Mm. And are there any problems that you remember being caused by the fact that there were all these Mexicans in the area?
No. I can't recall of any, you know, any problem. You know, it could have been and it could not have been, but you know, I really couldn't say on that.
Okay. Mm. And did you ever get a sense of how they felt about black people or white people or Arkansas treat you one way or another?
No.
And are you aware, did they ever complain or something? Oh, the wages aren't high enough or the houses aren't nice enough or anything like that?
No.
Okay. And so do you think that this program had an effect on black families in this area, having all these Mexicans here?
I guess, you know, it's just me speaking. I would say that a lot of black people were glad to see him here because, you know, a lot of them didn't want to pick cotton no way, you know, and all. And I think that, you know, they were glad to see him, you know. And I never could pick no lot of cotton. And I imagine if daddy was making me pick cotton, I would have been glad to have some here, you know, during that time.
So your dad didn't make you pick cotton?
No, my grandfather always paid my brother and I when we picked and all, and my mother made us take that to buy our school clothes and all. I remember once for about a week, I don't think I picked about 30 pounds a day, and I'd pick off that end and go to sleep all day. But like I was talking about those girls that could pick 300 and 400 pounds, but see, they had to, else they were going to get something done to them. And my daddy never was no cotton picker, so I guess that's why he never did, you know, require us to do a lot of cotton picking.
So he didn't pick cotton either?
No.
Because your granddad was the first to acquire the farm?
Yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. So they always had other people helping them?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you think that the attitude among black people you knew was positive?
Yeah.
Did you ever speak with people who felt that they were being displaced by this labor force or that they wanted those jobs for themselves?
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay, interesting. Any other specific memories about these men? What they wore, what they did?
No.
Where they hung out, what they did for fun?
No, I doubt. The only place for them to have gone, you know, like like up at Felton, they had a joint up there they called the Bloody Bucket, and I'm almost sure they hung around, you know, because Felton had that up there. When, you know, back there then, all these plantation things, they had a place where they, you know where they hung out. And out here at Sudan, they had a place out there. I can't think the name of that place out there, but I know they used to be out at Sudan out there because Lon Man had a big farm. And
what's the name?
Lon Man.
Lon Man.
Lon Man had a big farm out there at Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think who else. I can't think of nobody else around there. Let's see, Lon Man, Felton, Jimmy Jones, and I'm almost sure that, you know, it was others that had them, but, you know, I just know those, you know, those had quite a few of them, you know.
And so you said that there were kind of bars near the plantations, is that what you were saying?
Okay, up at Felton there, Lucius ran his place. It was kind of like his house. But, you know, it was a joint where they sold bootleg, and, you know, that's where, you know, people would go up there and buy and drink and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know, on the weekend.
And so who would go in there?
It would be mostly blacks, but, you know, the Mexican would go up there, too, you know. Mm-hmm. And you would see some, every now and then, you see some white guys that wasn't allowed to go for the big-time whites or the others, you know, they would be around up there, too.
There'd be a few white guys?
Yeah, buying bootleg and... And looking for the women and beer and stuff on Sunday.
And when do you remember the Mexicans coming less or stopping to come?
Well, when the cotton pickers got to be real popular.
And when was that?
That was in the late 60s. Late 60s. It might have been a little bit early, but I know in the late 60s, you know, when the cotton pickers got...
And did you ever hear any rumors about these Mexican men being with local women?
No. But I'm almost sure that they were, you know. But I can't say it for a fact because I wasn't aware. You know, I wasn't around where they were during that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Do you think it would have been white women or black women? Or both.
probably would have been both, probably.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, anything else I'm forgetting to ask you about that? Anything else that stands out in your mind?
No, I guess that's about it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.